Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Zach Meisel of The Athletic is joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to discuss it. Zach, how you doing, man? What's going on?
I think I'm doing better than the Indians are.
Brutal weekend.
Yeah, it seems like, I know Dustin's been talking about a Raptors funeral. It seemed like,
yeah,
at least in my mentions on Twitter, it was an Indians funeral, too.
Listen, the Yankees are killing everybody right now, to be fair, Zach. I mean, they got off to like a so-so start, but what have they won, like 15 of 16, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, they're 24-10, and it's amazing that they're still fighting with the Red Sox for supremacy in the East, but it's, you know, everything's clicking for them, and it was probably, a lot of times people say, you know, the way to get to 100 wins or whatever, or to navigate through the regular season, sometimes it depends on when you play teams, and this was a case of a team that was scorching hot playing a team that just needs to get out of its own way, and it played out just like that, and the teams kept going in opposite directions.
You know, Zach, when you look at this team, and their biggest problem right now appears to be the bullpen. Obviously, you know, they blow a couple leads here, and in the pen, and this is from your article too, they were fourth in the majors 2 weeks ago. And then The last couple weeks, they've just jumped from a 2.55 ERA to a 9.29 ERA. I mean, that's wild when you think about that. Why do you think it's been so bad?
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting because Terry Francona even kind of snapped at me after the game yesterday and said, look, we can't just say, oh, when we get Andrew Miller back, everything will be all glorious and fixed. I mean, they have to find ways to win games, to piece together the pitching so that they don't have games like what happened on Friday and what happened on Sunday. I mean, it's right now they have zero room for error, and it seems like the only way they can win is if they score 10 runs, because even if the starting pitching does well, as we saw over the weekend, you turn over that bullpen and all hell breaks loose. So they've got to figure out what they have in some of these guys that they've either collected through the waiver wire or trades or called up from the minors in recent weeks. And then they have to look at the trade market. And this is, you know, it's never as good as it is when things are going great, and it's never as bad as you think when things are going terrible. So the bullpen will rebound, and guys like Otero and Olsen, they'll pitch better. Cody Allen will pitch better, but you still need more. And it's something that, like, this shouldn't be shocking. I think the degree to how bad it's been should be surprising, but the bullpen was a question mark to begin with because they kind of sat on their hands over the offseason, and they relied on three guys who didn't even make the postseason roster in Otero and Goody and McAllister. Those three guys were guys they were going to rely on this year. Now, Goody's hurt, and McAllister's been dreadful, and Otero hasn't been great either. So this is going to be a work in progress. The good thing for them is the bullpen is sometimes the easiest thing to address just because you can rotate guys in and out. But this is something that has started to affect other parts of the roster, and that's when it becomes a major issue. You have starting pitchers throwing 115 pitches in May, and you have the offense doing everything it can to get back in the game, and then all that going for naught. So they do need to fix this sooner than later.
You know, you mentioned Cody Allen. He hasn't pitched well either, but three times in the last week, including twice this weekend, Francona goes to him in the eighth inning. I'm a little, like, I hate to say this because, you know, Francona's such a good manager, but is that a little bit of a panic move here? I know the bullpen's a mess, but how's it going to get better by pitching our closer three times in the eighth inning in a week? I don't know if I know I don't like it. Am I being unfair? What do you think?
No, I mean, he's managed like he's in desperation mode. I mean, the eighth inning yesterday, honestly, was completely botched. You had Clevinger going back out there at 100 pitches, and the idea was just get me an out so that Cody Allen can then get the last four or five outs. And in theory, okay, that could work if everything is efficient and goes perfectly. But that what are the odds of that happening against that lineup right. in that stadium, and given the way yes. the bullpen has been the last couple of weeks. So instead of warming up Otero, he warmed up Olsen and Allen and then let Clevinger walk a couple guys, get one out. So Clevinger was at 116 pitches, which that's strike one. You don't want that. And number two, then he goes to Allen. I probably would have had this. It's easy to say in hindsight. I probably would have had Dan Otero warming. He's a ground ball pitcher. He could have maybe gotten you a double play there. But instead you go to Allen, who needs 24 pitches to get out of that inning, gives up three runs. And so then you're stuck there because it's okay, well, do you bring him back for the ninth at 24 pitches already? He's been worked like crazy over the last couple of weeks. He had an outing earlier this week where he threw 41 pitches. So you know the odds of him being able to get through the ninth are good, and then you have Otero and Olsen backing him up. So it was just it kind of played out backwards, and it just reeked of desperation. Like they were just, you know, throwing everything at the wall to try to get one win, which, yeah, that's fine. But if it doesn't work, then you just did all that, and you still lost the game. So that's why it looks so bad now. They this off day, they need it badly. They need the off day yeah. Thursday that's coming. I mean, this team just, again, they can't get out of their own way. It's like they need a break. They need guys to get healthy, and they need some people to step up.
You know, this series, obviously, it's the regular season, right? But, I mean, you see that Yankees team and what they were able to do against us now. I know we don't have all of our horses right now, but, I mean, is it possible that you could look at that series and say, man, gonna have a hell of a deal here trying to get through the Yankees in the postseason?
Well, I think there are a couple ways you want to approach it. Number one, it's May. It's early May. So the Yankees yeah. are going to look a lot different come October. The Indians are going to look a lot different come October. But that doesn't
you
mean
hope.
That you can't use it as a litmus test. I mean, some of the guys, the two walk-offs the Yankees had over the weekend were both rookies who have played like a combined 40 games. Those guys are going to get loads and loads of experience over the next few months, and they're going to be even better come September and October. So, like, the Yankees could get better. Their starting pitching could be better. Their bullpen, actually, which is, you know, we all say it's like this vaunted bullpen that's so deep. It's actually been – it's struggled. It's performed below expectations to this point. So, somehow at 24-10 and looking invincible against the Indians all weekend, the Yankees actually could get yeah. better. And I think the Indians can get and will get better, too. But I think it's good to approach it as, hey, that's the team that we're going to have to beat, so why don't we make some moves and make sure that we can be up to their level instead of just hoping to catch fire at the right time.
Yeah, and, you know, they do have their issues, right? I mean, like, the Yankees' starting rotation has question marks. No doubt Sonny Gray's been terrible. Tanaka hasn't been fantastic. So, you know, I know Domingo Herman pitched great yesterday, but still, they've got some issues there. By the way, I think a guy the Indians could target is Raisel Iglesias from Cincinnati, Zach, because he's a guy who's, you know, could if both Miller and Allen leave at the end of the year, you could make him your closer next year. He's making like $5 million change this year, next year, and the year after. That's a good price point for them. I think he would be a good target for them. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're on the right path in terms of they're going to look at guys who are signed for multiple years that they can control, because they know after this year it's what do you have? You don't have any.
Right.
I mean, you have Otero and Olsen and just so many question marks after that. So, yeah, they know they need to not only address the bullpen this year, but they have to address it for next year. And they're understanding that, you know, that's going to cost you more. You can get all the rentals you want. They gave up nothing to get Jay Bruce and Joe Smith last year. And you can get a reliever like that or multiple relievers like that every single year come June and July, and they'll do that. But they've got to find some talent. They've got to find someone who can be reliable. And it, you know, it so much gets made of, you know, it's like, okay, well, you need the starters to go seven and then go Miller and then go Allen, and there's your nine innings, and that's the formula for victory. Yes, but they need someone who, when they're down 3-2 in the ninth, can pitch the ninth and keep it at 3-2 to give the offense a chance. And they need someone yeah. when Andrew Miller is pitched back to that days to be able to step in the eighth inning and lock it down without having your heart rate go up by a ton. So they do need just more dependability back there, and that's why I think, you know, you can wait around and find that veteran reliever who might be able to help, but someone like Iglesias, and there's some other guys too, and it's going to be interesting as some of these teams who it seems like they're going to have like 80 losses by the All-Star break, they might as well start selling now. Baltimore's and Kansas City's and Cincinnati's and even like San Diego and stuff. So it'll be interesting, and you know the Indians will be one of the first calls those teams make.
No doubt. We're talking with Zach Meisel from The Athletic. Zach, let's talk about the good and bad with Trevor Bauer. Unlike in past years where there's been good and bad on the field, this year on the field it's been almost exclusively good. I know he gave up 4 runs, but only 2 were earned, and he pitched into some hard luck in the inning against the Yankees. Overall, I thought he pitched tremendously well against the Yankees. But, you know, some of the comments, obviously a few weeks ago he alluded to players cheating. Last week he was specific about it with Garrett Cole and the Astros. You know, my fights with him aside, and then this weekend – he said, a lot of my runs end up scoring because I put free runners on base. I don't think the other team beat me. This guy rubs a lot of people the wrong way. I'll admit he rubs me the wrong way personally. I can't deny how good he's pitched. He's been phenomenal. But what do you make of the good and the bad with Bauer?
Well, I think he's reached a point where it's almost, you know, for so long you guys would ask me, like, what do you expect out of Bauer tonight? And I would say, let me flip a coin. Like, I don't feel that way anymore.
I
know most of the time what he's going to give the team, and I don't worry about him. And it's, you know, it's the thing that's getting overshadowed, and the reason why it's just so demoralizing how the bullpen is pitched is if you look at Clevinger's numbers, Bauer's numbers, I mean, Carrasco has been the worst of the 4 starters.
Yeah, he has, by far.
We don't need to talk about Tomlin right now, but they've got 4 horses who are just pitching the lights out. And so it's, with Bauer, he's definitely taken another step. It's interesting. He's getting so much more publicity because he's speaking out more. He's sharing his knowledge more. I mean, he's been great with the media this year, and it's been refreshing. It's actually been enjoyable to talk pitching with him, which hasn't always been the case. And I don't know how much of that is just because he's pitching better, and so he's in a better mood, but
right.
It's going to be fascinating to see if he faces the Astros here. They play 7 times in a 10-day span later this month. I would think he's going to face them when they're at home for a 4-game series toward the end of the month. They also go to Houston before that for a 3-game set. But if things stand the way we think they will, he probably won't pitch. But it's interesting. I mean, he's got some points with the Pintar. If you talk to any pitchers, I mean, it's pretty widely known around the league. Pitchers use something to give them a better grip. And hitters don't mind too much because it protects them so that these baseballs aren't slipping out of their hands and hitting them in the face. But it's kind of something that's gone on for a long time, and Bauer's the first person to speak out against it. Now, I think he's rubbed people the wrong way because he has spoken out about it, and it's just been kind of this subtle, understood thing that happens in baseball that – no one really talks about. So I think sometimes his teammates wish he would just keep quiet, shut his mouth. But I think also,
somebody's going to wear one in the ribs when they play the Astros.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, he's the Astros being involved in this is not a coincidence. I mean, him and Garrett Cole were teammates at UCLA. I think it's well known now. They aren't big fans of each other, and you know it's. If you look at Garrett Cole's numbers, they are far and away better than they ever were in Pittsburgh. And so Bauer thinks that's no coincidence. I think he found a way to kind of get it down and make it known publicly maybe what's behind that. And there you have it.
But here's the only my beef with that is that Garrett Cole was a number one pick in the draft. I mean, he's had good success. He's had more success in Pittsburgh than Bauer had in Cleveland before this year, and Bauer's pitching ever than he has before. So even if it's going on, which it might, it just seems so unnecessary when even me should be completely focused on how well he's pitching and not him taking shots at other players.
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably never be that way. I mean, he's always been
probably right.
You know, he's hard-headed, and he does things the way he wants to do them, which – whatever, everyone's different. But the thing that maybe is fair to call out is that he went about this the wrong way because his main, you know, his ending point, what he wanted to get across wasn't the fact that the Astros were cheating. It was that he wants Major League Baseball to regulate this and to make this something that all pitchers can do and to even the playing field because he feels like some pitchers don't use anything because they're afraid of getting caught. and that ends up harming them. And it's kind of like Kenny Lofton used to gripe all the time about how he was on the Hall of Fame ballot the year that McGuire and Sosa and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and all those guys joined it. And so he was completely overlooked and got kicked off the ballot. And his argument was, well, if I used steroids, I would hit home runs too. And so I'm being penalized for following the rules. And I think Bauer just wants to make sure that other pitchers aren't being penalized. He just decided to attack, an Indians rival, a team they're going to be trying to go up against in October, and maybe a little personal vendetta too against Gerrit Cole.
Is Andrew Miller supposed to be back by Friday? Is that the plan?
Yeah, Friday is the target. He's going to throw tomorrow in Milwaukee, either a bullpen session or face some Indians hitters, and then he would get Wednesday off. Thursday's already an off day, so Friday is that's their target.
And by the way, Francisco Lindor just named the AL Player of the Week. Not a surprise that he's gotten hot. All right, Zach, great stuff, man. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
All right, Zach Meisel from The Athletic. Some good insight on Trevor Bauer and the bullpen, Dustin. This is a big issue.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.